to.
Welcome back to Business Bunker Show.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Welcome to
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
I'll get there eventually. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio. I'm joined on the phone by Penny Williams. Hello, Penny.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Okay, I was just saying to you before we went back live that I'm having a few funnies in the studio, so that was just to prove it. I'm all kinds of things going on. Half my adverts don't play. Half of them play twice, and, well, whatever. It's been good fun. Anyway, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the show, Penny. I know how incredibly busy you've been at Kenwood Trust. Why don't you kick off by telling us a bit about you and Kenwood Trust?
Okay. Well, Kenwood Trust is based in Yalding. It's a charity that was established 52 years ago as a centre for helping homeless and those addicted to drugs and alcohol. That service has continued and developed, so we have residential rehab on site in Yalding and five other houses across the west of the county where people can continue their journey in the community. Alongside that, we work in schools, early education on the dangers of drugs and alcohol, and indeed working in the community, sort of early intervention. And we now have a homeless project on site as well. So we're working across a lot of different sectors, and we've been challenged like everyone else in the last 10 weeks.
Yeah.
But pleased to say we've managed to avoid COVID so far.
Okay. Well, that's good news. That is very good news. I mean, I was talking to Keith Mabbott from Street Soccer earlier. And I'm sure that most charities are suffering from the same thing. But how's it hit you particularly?
Well, I think like everybody else, we have seen our donations and fundraising revenues drop. We have not relied on them perhaps as much as other charities. So we're fortunate that actually there's an increase in our people wanting to come in, which has increased some of the funding, but we've suffered in the loss of generating any donations. And alongside that, it's an anxious time for everybody. You know, we have very vulnerable people on site. The staff have been amazing. They've come together as a team and adopted new protocols and using PPE to protect everybody on site.
Yeah.
And so far it's worked. So it's been a very challenging time and financially a real worry.
Absolutely. And of course, charities such as, I mean, for those that don't know Kenwood Trust, it's set in a beautiful valley in Yalding, as Penny said. It's a gorgeous location. How many acres you got? About 10?
15 acres.
15, wow. It's getting bigger, it's expanding. A bit like my tummy. they got 15 acres. They've got llamas and all kinds of things there. And
alpacas.
Oh, sorry, alpacas. I can never tell the difference. They look the same to me. alpaca. I should know. When we started this radio station, we were on an alpaca farm. But that's why I'm probably trying to blot it out of my mind. But you've got alpacas. You've got all kinds of things. You've got lovely wooden walks and all kinds of things. And, of course, at the moment, you can't do any of that.
No. So a couple of years ago, we set up a cafe here on site.
Yeah.
And alpacas that you can come and walk in the beautiful woods as well. But sadly, we've had to close that back in March. And no clear sight of when we can reopen. So that's obviously another revenue stream that we have lost. Although the alpaca walks we're planning to bring back soon because we can exercise social distancing with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't want to stand too close to an alpaca anyway. 2 meters is just fine by me. No, you're right. But one of the problems, of course, is even once we open up, you've really got us. You know, you've done such a lot of work to put Kenwood on the map and to get people to know about you, and you've basically got to start all over again, really, haven't you? Because you know, we've had this period where nothing's happened, and when you open up again and start bringing all these events back, because you've had classic car events and all kinds of things there.
We have, and it's very uncertain times to know when we can actually do that. We've also got archery on site now as well, so we've expanded some of the things that we can offer. I think on the trust side as well, on the treatment side, we've adapted. So we've now got day treatments.
Right.
That we were planning just before COVID hit. So we're now doing that online.
Right.
So that's a new service adapting to the new environment, which I think from all the stats, you know, people have increased their alcohol consumption over the last few months, and furloughed people are in particular apparently drinking more.
Yep.
So we don't know if our services are going to be needed even more going through the rest of this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was going to kind of mention that's of course... that, as you quite rightly say, that is one of the fallouts, and of course, sadly, I think we're going to see a rise in mental health issues coming out of this. Mm. One from being locked down for so long and not being able to socially interact with people is one thing, but then so many people, when we come out of this, are going to struggle with their businesses, struggle with jobs. Have built up debt while they've been off, even if they haven't realised it, because banks have allowed mortgage holidays and such like. But, of course, they've still been charging you interest. So, you know, all of that's got to be earned when you come back. And I think that's going to have a toll on people, and there's going to be an upsurge in health issues. From your point of view, I mean... is that something that you anticipate?
Oh, very much so. I think, I mean, we were talking the other day, Paul, about, you know, the amount of businesses potentially that are going to face closure and therefore an increase in redundancies. And I don't feel people really quite realise that yet.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I think there's been a lot of mental anguish with having to stay at home, not seeing your friends, potentially not seeing your family.
Mm.
And I think it's created a lot of anxiety, which, again, people might not even realise yet. But as we start to unlock the country, I think we are going to see a lot of the results of this unique situation that we all find ourselves in. And that it's going to display itself in various ways. We've already seen the increase in suicide, sadly.
Yep.
Just before the lockdown, we were dealing with a lot of an increase in, the Kent County lines, young people taking drugs, and I can only see that's going to increase as there's a whole generation here that are going to struggle to get jobs, I fear.
Absolutely.
They don't know what they're going to do with their lives. The universities are all over the place. I would imagine you'll get some people saying, I'll just try and get a job now instead. And I don't think jobs are going to be there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we are at one of those pivotal points in history where something like a pandemic, and this has happened in history in the past, has made a fundamental change in society. Normally, as human beings, we work our way out of that and head off in a better direction. We hope that we do that, but of course that doesn't help the people caught in the eye of the storm. Those of us that are suffering it as it unfolds are the ones that, you know, cop the fallout from it.
Absolutely.
As we go forward, we develop new systems, new processes, new ways of handling things, and we move forward in a more positive way. But those swept up in it at the moment are the ones that suffer. So you're absolutely right. My view, and one of the reasons for talking to both Keith and you today, is that I see a greater role for health and social care charities in the future. You know, because of the situation that we're going to be in, we're going to need more and more. We always needed a lot anyway, but we're going to need more and more help with the various issues that we face as human beings. And, you know, the government can't provide everything. They can't do everything, and they can't do it, in my opinion, a focused enough level always. Yeah, in some things they can, but not in everything. So for me, charities play a massively important role in our society and in our communities. And I just wondered how you felt about that, how you felt going forward organisations like Kenwood Trust will adapt to the new environment. How do you see your charity going? I mean, I'm sure at the moment that's difficult to answer, but, you know, what do you see as your role going forward?
Well, I think there's another thing to sort of throw back at you, which is that over the last 10 years, I strongly believe charities have filled the gap that slowly, you know, government social care has walked away from. And so you're right, there's going to be more need, but I suggest that there's a lot of charities already there. But what we are going to see is a lot of charities actually have to close their doors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless they get more help than's been offered already.
Yep.
You know, the hospices, for example, are a key one of this, that they totally survive on donations. And those donations haven't come through because there hasn't been the fundraising events and activities.
Mm.
People have been concerned about their jobs and perhaps have not just felt they could give as much. So I think that you're right. Charities are going to be needed even more.
Mm.
They need more funding than they've had. They need more recognition. I mean, our sector in particular, which is different to others, has seen a cutback and a cutback to the point that, you know, we rely on that funds and donations to bridge the gap between the cost of the service and the amount that the government give us for the service.
Yeah.
You know, it's a huge gap. So we do run with some bursary beds because we are a caring organisation that wants to help people. But more and more we're seeing people having to actually fund their own treatment.
Yeah.
So it's a very tough environment. And I think that going forward, charities are going to be needed more in social care.
Yep.
They are going to need more financial support.
Yep.
And I think that it is an essential third service, which I think there's been a campaign several times on that.
Mm.
So, yeah, tough times and very uncertain times. I think it's very difficult for some, even those that have had some residual funds, are saying, you know, come September, those funds will have run out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. As you know, I'm also the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and we get incredibly small amount of government funding. I think it's less than $7,000. And we look after 1,800 kids. And the thing is, if we threw those 1,800 kids back onto the social services area, it just wouldn't work. It would cost far more than $7,000, I can tell you that. You know, so I think you're absolutely right. Government have got to realise that this is, that, you know, with the right partnerships, it's money well spent in terms of helping health and social care charities especially deal with what's going to be a massive issue in society and a very expensive one if they don't partner with people, because if a lot of charities go out of business, the government's going to have to pick up the shortfall, and that's going to cost an awful lot more.
Absolutely. And what we've been saying is that, you know, people are attending A&E more and more with alcohol issues, which is far more costly than paying for someone to go through a 12-week rehab so that they can go back to their community and have, you know, a better life.
Yep.
And that's the shortfall for us, that there just doesn't seem to be that understanding at all.
I know, I guess everything's up in the air at the moment, but, you know, and there's so many things everybody's trying to do, but there's a big task here, there's a big job to do, and we've got to figure out how to do that as a society, you know, and I like everything, there's a balance, isn't there? A government, I know they're printing money like it's going out of fashion at the moment, but primarily they earn their money from taxation. Unfortunately, if people haven't got jobs, there's no taxation. You know, so the whole thing is a circular set of dominoes where one is affecting another. But you're absolutely right. You know, one of the problems is, you know, this one of the big outfalls of this lockdown as part of the pandemic will be the effects on health in both alcohol and drug consumption and general mental health issues. I've also started to see lots of reports, for instance, around the world where lockdown has been eased, about the massive rate of divorces being filed, as well as a huge uptake in birth rate. So, you know, there's a lot of health issues that are coming out of this pandemic and will rumble through society for many years to come. And organisations like Kenwood are going to be at the forefront of dealing with that.
Yeah, well, I hope we are. I mean, it's as I say, been helping people for 52 years, the last 10 years being particularly challenging. And I feel that we're trying to be as flexible as we can to adapt our services to the environment. And day service and even online counselling is for sure where we're going to see things going in the next 12 months.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of things are going to move online now, aren't they? Because people have been forced to do it, and they've found that it kind of works, and it makes a lot of things a lot easier. So a lot of things will stay. I was reading a report about online GP services. For a long time, the General Medical Council have been trying to move people towards online appointments, and of course, people have been reluctant to do that. Now it's your only option to see your GP is an online thing. Now you can't go and see a GP at the moment. So I think, again, you know, telemedicine, as they are calling it, will be a big thing. I'm interested in your service, your online counselling service. Is that something that's up and running at the moment?
Yes, it is. As I said, just before the lockdown started, we had developed a programme for day treatment. As I say, over the last 10 years, the amount of money in the community for residential care is very limited. So we felt that both for that service, but also for self-funders who couldn't afford to actually stop their lives for 12 weeks and do a residential course, this was something that was much needed. So we had just started to develop that when the COVID situation came along, so we've moved to doing that online. We're only counselling a handful of people at the moment. It's a service that we're developing, but they, all of those at the moment, feel that it's really worthwhile and helping.
Okay, I was going to say, how, you know, I know it's such early stages yet, but how's it looking? Are you comfortable that you can progress it into something that will become...
Most definitely. I mean, AA have moved online. A lot of their groups now are on Zoom.
Right.
And we're doing the same, both in terms of group and one-to-one work.
Okay.
So, yes, we're confident that it's a service that people want and people will benefit from.
Yeah, absolutely. And I happen to know, because I do, that you've been receiving some fantastic feedback from different groups of people about the work that you've been doing over the last few years, and certainly recently. And it's richly deserved, the recognition that you're getting for what you do, because it is incredibly difficult what you do, and it's incredibly expensive. Anything residential is expensive. And as we've seen, you know, Kenwood being a residential place could have been drawn into the whole care home type situation that has been so bad during this pandemic. But you've not had any cases at all, I understand.
No, we've managed to lock the site down. I have to say staff have not stayed here. They have continued to go home, but we have taken a lot of precautions. We're one of the few rehabs in the UK that are still taking new people in.
Right.
We're fortunate to have several buildings, so we've created a quarantine style admissions policy.
Right.
And we've been congratulated by a lot of commissioners for that, because it has meant we've probably helped another 20 people at least from what could have been a terrible time for them. In lockdown. So yeah, we're very proud of how the staff have pulled together and made that happen.
Absolutely. I mean, another positive that this pandemic has thrown up is the amount of heroes, the amount of people that aren't fantastically well paid, you know, are normally unsung in what they do, have just risen to the challenge, taken it on, faced the risks that they face personally, and helped their fellow man and woman. And that's been very heartwarming to see.
And yeah, very much so.
And you guys
have been a real family here.
Yeah, and you guys have a whole heap of staff that have done just that, and all power to them. It's an interesting arena that we're going to move into, is how we cope with all of the things that we've just been talking about in terms of raising more funds, in terms of doing more things, in terms of helping more people. I hope that it kind of changes our focus a little bit as a society and as a community, and gets us more interested in doing these kind of things. I mean, normally the average person in the UK is normally pretty good at supporting community activities, and some, as we saw with Captain Tom, Sir Tom, Colonel Tom these days, and his fantastic fundraising for NHS charities. We're going to need to be doing more of that for all kinds of charities like yourselves. I'm going to make a plea here as well. Just a really simple thing to do. It's something that I do with Kenwood Trust. If you use Amazon to buy stuff, and I guess a lot of people will be doing it now, even if they didn't before, because you get it delivered, it is possible to use the Amazon Smile service. And Amazon Smile means that you nominate a charity of your choice, and a portion of what you spend is donated to that charity, and Amazon kind of put in a contra donation to that. So my charity on Amazon is Kenwood Trust, it's a small way of doing things that you don't even notice the money going to the charity, as you just spend stuff online. So I'd recommend that people do that. And nominate Kenwood Trust if they can, or if they've got a charity that they particularly are keen on and they're one of the supported charities at Amazon, then go for it.
Thank you, Paul.
No, it's a pleasure. Penny, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate what you're doing at Kenwood Trust.
Oh, thank you.
Give us a shout out for your website so that people can find out more, find out about the services you offer, and get the help that they might need.
Yeah, it's kenwoodtrust.org.uk. And yes, you can get hold of us through that site if you need anything.
Fantastic. And when we're out of lockdown, it's a gorgeous place to visit. It's a gorgeous, serene place that's quiet and motivational to walk around. They've got a fantastic coffee shop there. Do go and visit once you can.
Offices to rent, don't forget.
Oh, yes, yeah. We mustn't forget that you've got Green Acres, the office block there. It's a very modern office block with high-speed internet and car parking and all kinds of lovely place. It's a fantastic location, not far from a railway station and all kinds. So if you're looking for office space in the Mid-Kent area at a reasonable price, then do get in touch with Penny, because they've got office space there. It's a great place, and even with the alpacas.
Thank you, Paul.
So do visit when you can. Penny, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure, as always, to talk to you. And we wish you continued good luck with the Kenwood Trust and all the fantastic work that you're doing there.
Thanks, Paul. Keep safe yourself.
Yeah, stay safe. We'll see you soon. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Penny Williams there, Chief Executive of Kenwood Trust in Yalding, just outside Maidstone. The second half of the show is sponsored. I would have told you this earlier. I've got a jingle that I normally play, and one of the things that went wrong is the jingle didn't play, and I don't know why. But anyway, flexible training solutions for the glass glazing and wider construction industries. www.fitfortrade.co.uk for all your training, qualifications, occupational compliance and peace of mind. Huge thank you to Fit for Trade, who are an ongoing Business Bunker show sponsor. Do check them out for qualifications in the construction industries. Right, there's a few other things I want to tell you about. I'm getting loads of private messages here, and I can't read them at the moment, folks, because I'm on air. So if it's about the show, you're going to need to tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker. Do you ever look at other businesses on social media and think they make it all look so easy? How are they coming up with so much regular content, and what are they doing that's getting so many people to engage with them? It can feel frustrating, especially if you're working hard to be consistent, posting regularly but still only getting a handful of likes and comments. It can leave you wondering why you're bothering at all. If this sounds like you, then let me reassure you, there is a lot you can do in a short space of time to build up your engagement on social media. Join my free 30-day social media campaign challenge starting on June the 1st, and I'll teach you practical strategies you can use to start creating engaging content and getting your audience to interact with you, how to research and pinpoint the pain and challenges your customer audience face. It's great for knowing what to post about. Key features to use to get in front of your audience, i.e. Instagram stories, creating and sticking to a plan, understanding what content to create and share. And that's from Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media. If you'd like to register for this event or to find out more, If you go to zcsocialmedia.clickfunnels.com/free 30-day social media campaign challenge. Let me give you that link again. It's zcsocialmedia.clickfunnels.com/free 30-day social media campaign challenge. Do check that out. Right, what we're going to do now, I caught up for Zoom 4, a chat with my mate, Jill Serkin, whose birthday it is today. But hey, join us in the chat.
This computer. And I'm here with the lovely Paul Andrews for our weekly Business Bunker catch-up. Nice and warm and sunny, a little bit hot in my home office. How are you, Mr. Andrews?
Okay.
Curmudgeonly?
Yeah, I am. I'm just really, fed up with so many things at the moment going wrong. Not a day goes past without something else going wrong.
And are you talking home-wise or business-wise or everything?
Well, both. This morning it was home. I got up and got in the shower, which was freezing cold. only to find my boiler had packed up again.
Ah, well, we do know Samsung Gas, of course.
Yeah, we do. But
he fixed my boiler. He was brilliant.
Yeah, he's a bit of a long way from me. Anyway, I've got my local mate that does it.
Oh, good.
And I'm hopefully, touch wood, I'm back up and running now. But yeah, what a pain.
How old is your boiler?
About 4 years old.
It's crazy. What make is it?
Worcester.
Which is a good one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's
well,
just,
you know, as far as they are. But do you know what? In the old days, a boiler would last a lifetime, 40 years.
Don't even get me going on
as
that.
As long as you and me, really.
It's political interference introducing condensing boilers that don't condense. And guess what packed up on mine?
The condenser.
The condenser was blocked. Yeah. And the thing I don't need, doesn't work, don't want, and the politicians made me have, caused my boiler to stop working. Yeah.
So it's called a condenser. Is that the same as what those ones that, there's another word, isn't there, with one that just heats it up automatically. Is that a condenser?
Yeah. Yeah, it is a condenser. No, it's just a...
It's got another word as well, I think.
Yeah, about 15 years ago, John Prescott made it a legal requirement to have condensing boilers.
And they're rubbish.
Actually, if you go and look at the heatinghub.co.uk, they've got a whole blog on there about why condensing boilers don't work properly, which
right.
is quite interesting.
I mean, I think they're sort of maybe all right in a little flat or something if you're only doing one bathroom. But if you've got a larger house and a larger family... Yeah, this is good because I've also had lots of boilers. And the house I'm in now has got really old boilers. And the guy that I bought from was a builder and he said, never change it, you know. and, of course, we will have to one day. But, yeah, nothing worse than a cold shower.
Yeah, but that's just a long line, a list of things that have gone wrong over the last few months.
Well, you're coming into Leo from Pyrex, so it's probably...
Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, my Pyrex has shattered, I think. Pyrex shattered as it crossed the firmament or something.
Yeah, you have to wait for the cusp to change.
I'm desperate for a cusp, mate.
Who might the sponsor be this week, Paul?
Sorry, I missed that.
Who might our sponsor be this week?
Our sponsor again this week is the lovely folks at Thackeray Williams, the law firm.
They've been putting out some very good Twitter information about what to do.
Yeah,
at the moment.
And they've got this fantastic helpline. I think they've extended the opening hours for it now as well.
Gosh.
Which is great. And it's available to anyone that wants to use it. It's a legal helpline. And we'll give you the number for it later in the show.
Well, we're now in week what of lockdown?
Well, we're talking in week 9, at the end of week 9, and we're coming into week 10.
Where I live, I don't know how it's changed where you, but the roads are really, really busy now.
Yeah.
You can see the workers are all coming back to houses and, you know, people have got them in, which is great. I'm really excited. We've got absolutely jam-packed parking on the seafront where we are. Beaches are heaving.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of teenagers getting quite merry on the beach, and a little bit of aggression, I'd say. Is that you or me?
No, that was me. Excuse me. I think there's a number of issues there, and they're worth looking at.
Sorry about that. It's my phone going. It's the computer phone. Sorry, carry on.
Okay.
Did you hear it at your end?
No.
Oh, good.
I wouldn't have known unless you told me.
Oh, well. These things are live.
When the government first talked about locking down, they said they didn't want to lock down too soon, because behavioralistically they knew that people wouldn't tolerate it very long.
Yeah.
That has proved to be incredibly true.
Yeah.
So it's somewhat surprising that they continued the lockdown much longer than I thought they would, because I now believe that people are just starting to ignore it.
Except that we're still, as I keep thinking, we're still a fortnight behind Spain and Italy. We went in 2 weeks behind, and France. So we really shouldn't be coming out of lockdown, I don't think, last when we did. Well, I think we should have hung it on for another 2 weeks, but I know the reasons.
Yeah, I think we got to, because people are not, you know, people are just ignoring it now. And I think we've got to address that. And the government are losing control of the situation, as far as I'm concerned.
Did you see Trump with his malaria remedy? I mean, having traveled to Africa like you have, I sort of know that malaria tablets, for example, make you feel very, very crook. You know, they make you feel really bad. But having traveled to Africa, as I have, you'll know that I've been to the Hotel Strand Swakopmund.
Swakopmund. She's listener, she's changing hats again, which I'm trying to ignore.
This is my bush hat.
And she's also holding up beer mats from various hotels across Africa.
Malaria tablet, I think, will make people feel really, really ill. And you can't just take it blanket forever, can you? And there'll be a shortage now that Trump said it.
I mean, that whole thing's stupid. But I'm more concerned about the fact that people are now starting to take things into their own hands and are ignoring the lockdown advice. And on the other hand, I think the government have got to come out with a much better strategy for unwinding the lockdown. We really do need to, you know, I don't think people fully understand still how much devastation there's going to be when we're through this and back into normal living. Not that we will ever go back to normal living, you know. Something like this has created a massive change in society, and the way that we work, the way that we behave, the things we do will fundamentally change. And I think we need to start talking about that now. And as I've mentioned a couple of times in our chats, I'm really disgusted with our media. No one in the media has focused on anything useful. No one in the media has started a debate about how we might come out of this, what the effects might be, what are some of the new things we might do. They've just not discussed it.
Well, there's no plan, is there? There's no positivity or plan. It's just...
It's not even, you know, I'm not even sure that we could come up with a plan yet. We've not even had any discussion. That's the thing that really, makes me fed up, is that every day you turn on the news, you turn on a radio program, or you turn on a TV program, or you read a newspaper or whatever, it's the same old thing over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an argument about statistics. It's a load of people throwing charts around that disagree with each other, and a load of people saying it isn't. And that's of no use to anyone. It really isn't of any use to anyone.
Well, the news, I agree, is very samey, and there are journalists out there that should be doing a little bit more inventive and a bit more research, I would have thought.
I think we need a discussion. We need to start talking positively about how we might recover our economy, how we might create jobs in the future, how we might save everybody from penury.
Yeah.
You know, the government borrowed 61 billion last month.
Yeah.
It's more than they borrowed in a year
before. And they're all the furloughed are on my beach, I can tell you, in deck chairs, drinking wine and eating ice creams, buying ice creams, mooching around like they're on holiday. There was a positive, a couple of positives, Paul, because I know we like to focus on that and on the bunker. And I saw this company called plastock.co.uk, and on the Twitter they're at Team Plastock. I think they'd be great to come on the show, but they're probably really busy because they're manufacturers of plastic rods and tubes and parts.
Yeah.
And what they've done is they've rapidly prototyped for hospitals in just 12 hours. I think they're based in Wickham. And they've made this plastic screening like a plastic box that the ill COVID patient actually goes into.
Right.
And they have obviously air holes and things, but it stops any coughing or germs. So rather than the poor doctors sweating in that stuff, is it hazmat suit? I never know what they're called. Hazmat suit?
Yeah. Well, PPE, but
you know, apparently the PPEs are really uncomfortable to be in.
And make you sore. Yeah.
Have a look on their Twitter and you'll see, I have retweeted them, but it's at Team Plastoc. So they did this prototype in just 12 hours and it's being now researched. So they're doing test coughs by puffing dust and things from inside this glass, this plastic thing. Amazing.
It's interesting that you're saying things like that. You know, a lot of, you know, without being funny, you know, 3 months ago, we were all set to kill anybody that was involved in plastic.
Yeah, exactly.
And now they've saved their lives.
I know.
Funny enough, in Fruitworks, we've been looking at acrylics and plastics as a way of separating people when they do come back to work. Because obviously, we can't offer hot desking any longer because you can't share a desk. You know, that would be crazy at the moment. So what we've had to do is isolate all of our desks, and what we've done is we put up Perspex and plastic screens and made them all face the same way. You know, before people used to look at each other across the desk.
Yeah, for companionship.
Yeah, no. We can't do that. So, you know, it's now like a theatre in there. Everyone's facing the same way. They're isolated with plastic. Not that there's anyone in there, but, you know.
There will be. Have you got windows in there?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that's a big thing that, you know, rather than using aircon, you could actually open a window and get fresh air in rather than aircon.
You've been to our place.
Yeah, I have.
Fruitworks doesn't need to open a window to let fresh air in because the windows don't fit. It's a Victorian warehouse and the wind whistles through it anyway.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's tantamount to working outdoors in any case.
It's a beautiful building. And do you know what I find when I travel? That aircon always makes me snuffly and ill. It doesn't suit me. Doesn't suit many. So I think fresh air and windows is a good one.
Well, again, we're looking at reopening the radio studios.
Yeah.
And in fact, last Tuesday's show, I actually broadcast from the studio on my own.
I did listen in.
Yeah, because
I had three interruptions this time rather than four.
But I did it on my own, and that's what we will be doing for the next couple of months.
Yeah.
But of course, again, one of the things that we always shouted at people for was turning off the air conditioning.
Yeah.
Well, now we've said you mustn't have the air conditioning on; it has to be off.
Wow. You know. Yeah, so how things change. And it is, you know, I feel for you being on your own because we miss the eye contact. We miss our lovely guests, you know, the banter and the actual physical eye contact. And that's what a lot of us are missing, and especially the elderly, of course, who are really locked in. There was another proactive business, Canterbury Brewers. Obviously, brewers, a lot of them, the beer only has a sell-by date of a certain amount, a finite amount, and the restaurants aren't open, the pubs aren't open. So they are now turning their alcohol into ethanol, I think I'm right in saying that.
Yep.
And they're making hand sanitizer. So that's the Canterbury Brewers.
They are, don't you?
Just near you.
They're my neighbours. They're underneath us.
With draughty windows also.
Yeah.
So they are on the Twitter at Foundry Brew Pub. You can follow them if you fancy some hand sanitizers. I thought that might be good for, you know, people that work. I was thinking about Spinnerjet FM, for example, who's going into people's houses. He's going to need a lot of that sort of stuff. And there is a shortage, I think, still.
Yeah, well Spinnerjet are now, as I understand it, offering fogging services as well.
Yep. I saw that Dan, the lovely Dan Juby and his team. So if you have a business, he can fog the business for COVID virus. And I think he said it lasts for 6 weeks.
I think it's 30 days. I can't remember. But basically what you have to do is you have to do a deep clean of all the surfaces first.
Yeah.
To make sure that everything's completely clean.
Yeah.
Then you fog the atmosphere. And then you get a certificate of saying how long it lasts before you have to have it done again.
That's great. So anybody that wants to know, it's at Spinnerjet FM on the Twitter, or contact me or Paul and we'll put you through to Dan Juby, the owner. Yep. And then there's a positive thing I saw, I found three positive things, Paul Andrews, is a new pie factory. Now, who doesn't love a pie? It's going to be... in Canterbury on the Nackington Road. If you remember, as you drove through there, there was an old reclamation yard.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
On the corner, which went up for sale. And if I'd have had the money, I would have snapped it up, but I didn't, of course. Mm. I counted out my threepenny bits, but no, nothing. I had a halfpenny and a threepenny bit, not enough. But it's going to be...
Threepenny bit's probably worth money now.
Maybe. Mine are all in Christmas pudding.
Was it silver?
Yeah. I might have to put it in my tooth, actually, because I've got a filling out and we can't see the dentist.
Oh, dear.
I've been eating toffees, Paul. So it's a new pie factory, hopefully opening, whether this will change, but I read it in the papers this week. Plus a covered farmer's market in the Nackington Road. It's a £5 million development. It's going to be a processing plant, and they're going to use all the fruit from the Kent farmers to make fruit pies.
They're making fruit pies. They're not making steak and kidney.
No, they're making everything.
Are they?
I mean, yes, they're making everything. Then also aligned with that in the former reclamation yard, Nick Brown is the former bricklayer who is the head of Candy Co, C-A-N-D-Y Co. He is also developing a £400,000 farmer's market proposal.
Wow.
All going through. So it's very exciting. I felt a bit sad for the Good Shed because I'm a big fan of the Good Shed, and they've been brilliant in COVID. They're delivering me fresh fish and whatever they have. And so I've just had this delivered, my lovely new husband. Oh, my birthday present. You're joking. Oh, wow. This is from Staines Farm for my lovely birthday.
It's your birthday tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow. Look at all these amazing tomatoes. I'll give you a little photo because obviously the listeners can't. That is so sweet of them. You see it?
Yeah. Wow.
I've got a lovely bunch. They're all different.
Are you telling me they're tomatoes?
Yeah, all different.
I thought they were peppers.
Working with a headphone. They're all different. I'll send you pictures afterwards, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, fantastic.
I feel I've hogged our time. And
you've just been tomatoed.
Oh, they're absolutely, and they're so fresh. Do you know David, who's the owner, with Julie, his wife? I think I've got her name right. Sorry if I haven't. But he gets up in the middle of the night to get this amazing produce.
Yeah, fantastic.
To the shop, and he's delivering. So,
and I think there's going to be much more of that. I think we're going to be doing much more local stuff. We're going to be supporting local people, local growers, local farmers, local shops. We really have to do that. It's the only way we're going to recover our economy is by going local, as far as I can see.
I think so. I think there's a song about that. Going local down in Acapulco.
Oh, yeah, something like that, yeah.
Right, so
I used to have one of those. That's a Cubs hat.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Cubs or whether it's St. Christopher's. I've got a feeling it was Shea's St. Christopher's hat.
Yeah, it could be.
But probably they borrowed it from the Cubs. Doesn't quite fit, but I thought it's sweet. I've been in Shea's wardrobe again. You round up now. You've got 2 minutes.
Well, this week on the show, we're going to be talking and focusing on charities and the social enterprise infrastructure and how COVID and the lockdown has affected them. But more than that, I'm talking to them about how we use charities in a more constructive way
moving
forward to support local communities, because they've got a lot to offer. And I think, you know, going back to a much more proactive charity model, it again is another thing that we need to push and promote. So
any charities in mind off the top of your tongue?
Well, there's loads of charity. Obviously, we've got two on the show this week. We've got Street Soccer and Kenwood Trust.
Yeah.
But it's about local charities, and it's about people that work in the local community and do things and help people, because that's what's important. And where we are now as a society, we have a massive amount of things that we need to look after, a massive amount of people we need to look after, everything from mental health issues to addiction problems, you know, people drinking too much. I don't know if you know anybody that does that.
Yeah, well, lockdown fever.
Yeah. So, you know, all those kind of things, mental health issues are going to be epidemic proportions over the next year or so because of where we are.
Well, apparently sales of alcohol have absolutely rocketed.
Yeah, so we're gonna need an awful lot of help in helping people there, and you know, government systems can't cope with all of that. We need all the local support systems as well. So I think there's big opportunities for charities to help. What we need is to understand how to fund them, and that's a big issue.
I agree with you. And so if the listeners want to send us in some charities that they support and they know, and we'll give them a shout and perhaps have them on the show. But for now, from Paul Andrews and myself, have a safe week and enjoy the rest of the Bunker Show.
Bye for now.
Goodbye.
This is Channel 2.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
So that was Jules and I in week four of our Zoom chats, and we'll be hearing more from Jules next week. And I'm hoping to have a recorded interview with a lovely Bird as well, my other co-host, Sarah Ann Lucas, Bird on a Bike. So hopefully we'll have a chat with Bird for next week's show. I've had some more tweets come in. I was saying earlier that I'd put on a little bit of timber, and the lovely Sarah Smith from Rockfit in Ramsgate had been on saying I ought to join in, and I said my hair wasn't long enough. Well, she's got an answer for that. She said, ha-ha, Vanilla Webb, you bring the wig, I'll supply the air guitars. So I think that's me then. I think I'm going to be doing Rockfit by the sound of it. So thank you, Sarah. I shall look forward to that. It'll be great fun. I've also had a tweet from, what does it do that? Every time I put my phone out, it disappears. Best Business Events. Update your marketing. 6 keys to a modern marketing strategy. Hear from Kinder McDonald, the 6-part strategy thousands of successful companies use to get better quality leads, higher conversions, happier customers. Taking place, it's an online event taking place on Wednesday, the 10th of June. From 11 till 12:30, and you can book your place by going to bitesizeonline.co.uk. bitesizeonline.co.uk to find out about that. And I happen to know, because I've seen and heard Kendra McDonald speak. She's from a company called Automation Ninjas, and she's brilliant, absolutely brilliant, really entertaining. I thoroughly recommend that. Do give that a check and a try out, because that should be a huge amount of fun. Right, some other things that are going on. Manana tomorrow, Wednesday the 27th of May, the Federation of Small Business have Maidstone Virtual Networking. It's hosted by Peter Searle, and it's an FSB Connect online event in conjunction with the Metro Bank. The guest speaker is the fantastic Munya Badzi, and Munya is the enterprise coordinator at the Education People. You can take part in breakout rooms, networking, as well as updates on One Maidstone. I think One Maidstone is the new big company. So that's Maidstone Networking, virtual networking, tomorrow, 4 p.m. until 5 p.m. To register onto it, you need to go to fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB Maidstone virtual networking. So that's www.fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB Maidstone virtual networking. Do check that out. That's networking with Peter Searle and Metro Bank. Also on Wednesday, manana tomorrow, is the next Marsh Network Online, and the Network Online meeting is at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow on Zoom. Join us at our successful online meeting that continues to grow, and tell us about your business organisation. Seek and give support to others, and hear about the plans others have to sustain their business during these strange times. To continue to support our nominated charities, we're charging £5 to attend the online meeting. All monies raised, less booking fees, will go to Calm and the Oliver Curd Trust. You can book your place at eventbrite.co.uk/Marsh Network Online, or use the Marsh Network app, which is marshnetwork.imobile.one. That's O-N-E. marshnetwork.imobile.one.
or the Marsh Network website, which is www.marshnetwork.co.uk, to reserve your place, and we will send you the link and password to join the meeting by email closer to the day. So you need to get onto that quick, because it's tomorrow morning. And that's from Terry Botfield of Marsh Networking. That's 10:30 a.m. online networking on the Marsh, Wednesday the 27th of May. So do check that out. I've had a report from accountants Creston Reeves, and they say the real economy faces critical challenges over the next 12 weeks. A survey of 221 small and medium-sized businesses in Kent and Sussex indicate that the next 12 weeks will be crucial to the survival of many businesses. 28% have seen their turnover reduced by over 70% since the lockdown started. 39% have seen their turnover reduced by 50%. 33% have less than 8 weeks cash in the bank, and 56% have less than 12 weeks cash in the bank. And a majority, 63%, have used the government's job retention scheme, that's the furlough scheme, of whom 85% regard it as being critical to their ability to keep going. It's now getting to a critical point. The government are announcing each day further and further unlocks. I believe that they announced, the last announcement was to car sales rooms to be open, garden centres to be open, and some non-essential shops are being allowed to open, all as long as they have social distancing in place and good methods of using these places. I have to say, I saw a couple of people on Twitter moaning about that, and I don't get it. Both the big supermarkets where I am and the small little independent shops have been absolutely brilliant in managing safely to shop online. They've managed who's in their store at any given time. They've put in place one-way systems so that you don't clash with other shoppers. I've been very impressed with what everybody's done. I guess there's always some people that moan, but under the circumstances, I think they've been brilliant. I think that's it, really, for another week. We're at the end of another Business Bunker show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to the show sponsors for today, which is Thackeray Williams, the legal firm. And a huge thank you to you, the listeners, for joining me, for everyone that tweeted, emailed, and sent me messages. A massive thank you to my two guests, Keith Mabbott, CEO of Street Soccer Foundation, and Penny Williams, CEO of the Kenwood Trust. Great to talk to Jules. Great to hear from you. Thank you to everybody that interacted with us. We'll be back with another show next week, and I've lost count. I'm busily trying to find out whether we're in week 8, 9, or 10 of this lockdown, but we'll work it out. We'll be back with another Zoom chat with Jules, and hopefully with a Zoom chat with Bird as well, and two more great guests for you to listen to. Stay safe, everybody. Look after each other. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.